Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Now, 3 months later, here we are with Bitcoin Cash rallying significantly over the last couple of days, coming up to, at one point yesterday, the number two most valued cryptocurrency in the world as ranked by market cap. It is currently at number three. It's kind of neck and neck with Ethereum, which has been long time the number two crypto. So we've been watching this and reporting on it in some level of high amount of detail, at least as detailed as we can be, and hopefully retain the interest of people who aren't necessarily deep into the world of cryptocurrency. You don't have to be deep into cryptocurrency to understand that this is a technology that is probably not going to go anywhere anytime soon. And it would behoove you to understand that about cryptocurrency. Whether it's Bitcoin or some other thing, maybe it's Dash or Monero or, you know, one of these other competitors out there. There are a bunch of these cryptocurrencies, over 1,000 different competitors in the marketplace, but really only, you know, a few dozen that are worth talking about.
Right. Imagine if you were in the know on the internet in 1992 instead of 2002 or whenever you figured it out.
Because we're early on in the cryptocurrency days here. The altcoins, the competitors to Bitcoin, like Litecoin and Dash and Ethereum and the rest of them, they've really only been around for about 4 years. I did not pay for my meal tonight. Normally, we have a social Sunday event here in Keene, New Hampshire, where we do the show from, where libertarians get together and just kind of hang out for dinner at a local place that takes Bitcoin. And every week prior to this, for basically this entire year, I had been buying my meals with Bitcoin. And I've been shouldering $2 fees, $3 fees in order to do that, which is, I think, unusual. The average person probably isn't willing to pay that much in a fee to, let's say, buy a $15 or $10 meal. But today, the fee of Bitcoin was going to be approximately the same price as the meal itself. So that finally crossed my line. I was no longer willing to spend an exorbitant fee like that. I'm not going to go that far. I mean, I'm a fanatic. I'll spend $3 to, you know, to buy a $10 meal just to get some Bitcoin out there into the economy, get it into somebody's hands. But to spend $12 or $13 to buy a $13 meal, that had gone too far for even my tastes. So Bitcoin is unfortunately seriously broken.
Bitcoin's at the all-time high that it was at on
a month ago.
No, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Less, fewer than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Take a deep friggin' breath, okay? You don't know what's going to happen.
No, I didn't say I knew what was going to happen, did I?
I understand, but you're making it seem like this is some giant catastrophe, dude.
It's looking bad, let me tell you that, because right now you've got 130-something thousand transactions that are backlogged right now.
Many of them are spam.
Okay, I don't know about that, Mark. There's no real way to tell.
Many of them have tiny little transaction fees attached.
Yeah, I know a guy who we were just sitting down having dinner with who specifically put a tiny transaction fee on his transaction. So there are some people who just don't want to pay $10 to send a transaction
Agreed.
Somewhere.
I don't necessarily
so regardless
do
of whether
either.
Or not they're spam, that doesn't solve the problem that there are 130,000 transactions sitting out there. Many of those transactions are of people like Johnny Ray, who earlier this week when he saw the news about Bitcoin having this trouble and the Bitcoin Cash possibly going up, he said, as many people did, oh, well, maybe I want to get out of this Bitcoin thing, or at least partially get out of it.
I saw that SegWit 2x had been canceled, and then I saw that,
which was the fork that was supposed to happen in a few days,
right, that was to ameliorate the mempool congestion and the scaling problem that Bitcoin the original Bitcoin was having.
You want 30 million people to be able to use Bitcoin, right?
Sure.
Do you want 300 million people to use Bitcoin?
You want 3 billion
okay.
to be
so
able to use it.
3 billion. Excellent. So you have to go up by 1, 2, 3 factors.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the block size needs to be increased by from 1 to 10, 100, 1,000. What's 1,000? Is that a gig?
That's a gigabyte.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now you've got a 1 gig, you know, block size. Yeah, Every 10 minutes, we're pulling down a gig. Every 10 minutes, pulling down a gig. Will that price out the small people who are mining out there?
I don't know, Mark. You're talking about a way off in the future. And then by that time, bandwidth is going to be even cheaper than it is now. And hard drive space is going to be even cheaper than it is now. And also, that gives gives developers plenty of time to come up with real solutions. And maybe this Lightning Network thing that you seem to be believing in, which doesn't seem to be much more than vaporware at this point. It keeps being promised to being 18 months away, so that's not around the corner.
Well, there was a big dispute for the last 3 years in Bitcoin, and it was very difficult to, that dispute just wasn't getting resolved. Mm-hmm. The amount of times that the vast majority of people mm-hmm. are doing one thing and doing the other isn't a good idea is near zero. I mean, it's almost always a good idea to zag when the market zigs. And the market is clearly zigging. So what does it mean to zag? I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know, man. All I know is I wanted to get some Bitcoin out of Bitcoin and put it into other things. Now, I'm not an investor, okay? I don't claim to be an investor. I just kind of, you know, I do what I do, and I feel like Bitcoin is hurting right now. Maybe it's going to all of a sudden get fixed by some miracle technology that you seem to believe they've got right around the corner, Mark. And I'd love to see Bitcoin get fixed because, you know, there's still a bunch of Bitcoin in the Shire Free Church's portfolio. So, you know, I don't want it to fail completely. I don't want it to fail, but it sure has failed, and it is failing. And there's all kinds of evidence of that failure. You get stuck transactions, over 150,000 or 130,000 of them right now. And from what I was reading earlier, if you want to clear that transactions, those amount of transactions out, you'd have to stop all new Bitcoin transactions from happening for 24 hours. If you could stop all new transactions from happening from this point for 24 more hours, that would give the Bitcoin network, churning away as it is, the enough time to actually process through those 130,000 transactions.
For a long time, you know, America, everybody wanted to trade with us because we were the land of the free and the home of the brave, right? We had all sorts of great inventions. They were stuck with kings that didn't want to touch new inventions or new ideas. They were mm-hmm. stodgy old farts invested in bad ideas, and they cronied out all of their production lines. And so, you know, the cronies were usually fat drunks that never got anything done. And you give a fat drunk knight ability to run a factory that requires, you know, the people's lifestyle to be dependent on it, and this guy's too fat and drunk to get anything done right, you put your old nation at risk by that. So the whole idea of free enterprise and, you know, whether you had patent rights or reproduction rights, whatever, you know, you give tribute to the inventors, but by God, you know, you don't allow the nation to starve because, you know, some aristocrat has got management of it. So the whole idea that America used to be a place where everybody wanted to trade in American dollars, but since we've had idiots like George Bush, you know, the W, and the ones before that were, I mean, you go, I don't know if any of the listeners, I recommended, right, that Making of the President series, and you look in the index under gold for 1972, didn't I recommend that a couple of calls back?
Maybe. I don't know.
The paper that came out that said Dash isn't as secure as it could be, right?
Yeah.
It didn't mix the way that Dash suggested that you mix.
Okay.
And there's an option within the, at least the desktop version, their version of the QT, that allows you to mix up to 10 times.
That's cool. So, mixing's good, but as somebody who really wants to follow it, I believe there's a way that you can, you know, if you really want to put the time and effort into it, you can probably get through that.
I'd like somebody to send me an email, you know, outlining how they get through these.
I'm not a technical expert. I've just heard that mixing isn't perfect. It's better privacy than, you know, what you're going to get on an open public blockchain. There's no doubt about that.
Well, much better than Bitcoin.
But it's not going to be a Zcash, which is, you know, a zero transaction proof that's supposedly like the best system out there right now for privacy. So if you want a privacy coin, there are some that are much more private than Dash. But Dash certainly has a lot going for it, and that's one of the reasons why I'm excited about it. For me, Dash's real selling point is the fact that it is marketed as digital cash, that it's intended to be used for market-based transactions, which is what we need right now, which is what Bitcoin used to be but is broken for. And I was embarrassed when I could not bring myself to spend the insane fees that were being, you know, required in order to buy a simple hamburger and fries tonight at a local place that accepts Bitcoin. I had to apologize, or felt I had to apologize, because normally I'm a reliable Bitcoin customer, and tonight I had to pay with green stuff. Mark, if I hope you're right. I hope that the hemorrhaging here stops and that we see both Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin go up. I mean, that's what I'd like to see happen. That's not what's happening. It seems like Bitcoin goes down, Bitcoin Cash goes up. If you look at the total price of Bitcoin Cash, and as of last night, I didn't look today, but as of late last night, if you add up the price of Bitcoin Cash and the price of a Bitcoin, you get about $7,900, which was the same price that Bitcoin hit right as the news came out that the SegWit2x fork was supposed to be canceled this coming week. Mm-hmm. When that came out, the Bitcoin price shot up to $7,900 and then proceeded to fall from there all the way down to as low as $5,500 to where it is now at about $5,900 tonight.
Right.
And so again, you add them together and you get about the same amount of total value. So it's like the market is literally just going between, you know, the two and trying to establish who's going to win this thing. And I don't
know. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. But I know that Dash is saying here they're going to be lowering fees. And to me, if I got to pay a third of a penny for a transaction versus 3 cents, I'm going to take the third of a penny transaction, because I want to support the network that gives me the cheapest possible. You know, I want fees to be transparent. I want buyers in the marketplace to not have to ask the question that they've been having to ask recently about Bitcoin. Because I don't want to have to explain to people how Bitcoin fees are calculated. That's a very difficult thing to explain.
Yeah.
Since Dash's upgrade, the price has bounced such that the fee for these premium transactions would be the equivalent of 3.2 cents. In contrast, most credit and debit cards charge a flat fee of at least 20 cents plus a percentage of the product price, averaging about 3%. So Dash is already cheaper than credit cards for almost every transaction over a dollar, and now they're saying here on Wednesday it's going to become even cheaper for 20 cent transactions. 30, you know, you want to buy a pack of gum with Dash, it's going to be almost no fee whatsoever,
basically. Right, so Dash is digital cash, right? D cash. Mm-hmm. Digital cash. And the idea is I think they want to set themselves up for micropayments too, nano payments, that kind of thing. You know, for instance, my favorite sort of example is there's a social networking platform. Maybe it'll be Facebook. Maybe it won't. I don't know. And instead of liking somebody's post, maybe there's a good post out there. Maybe there's a super like where you throw them a nickel or a dime or mm-hmm. something like that. When the right, or on Twitter, imagine, one of these tweets that goes super viral, where somebody says something really insightful, something really, for whatever reason, gets people excited, and a whole bunch of people like it, person could potentially make, hundreds of dollars on these tweets.
If there was a way to send a microtransaction.
If there was a way to make a microtransaction.
And there are.
And it was integrated and easy to do.
With this update, Dash now has strong incentives to mine, stake, and spend, while Bitcoin struggles with spending, with no potential relief in the near future. So again, Mark, you talked about this Lightning Network supposed fix that's somewhere out there, you know, 18 months away is the last number I saw being quoted, whereas Dash is upgrading this week. Dash is on a direct path to attracting more users with non-techie appeals, and all digital currency developers should take note. Someone living in Section 8 housing won't care about the elegance of your coin's cryptography. He cares a lot more about getting his funds confirmed quickly enough to avoid a payday loan. A widowed grandmother isn't going to care about an anarchist reset after we destroy the central banking system. She cares a lot more about paying for her food and toiletries without a 3% surcharge. And a retailer will definitely care less about the value of Dash going to the moon than selling its wares for 3% lower than his Visa-reliant competitors and getting more customers. Alan Greenspan is on the attack against cryptocurrency, specifically attacking Bitcoin. Of course, it's, you know, the king of the cryptocurrency charts right now. And the fact that the former Federal Reserve chairman himself is coming out on attack is a good sign that, you know, the world of cryptocurrency is a threat to the old banking system. Because if crypto wasn't a threat, if crypto wasn't significant, and, you know, you could argue that $100 billion, which is what Bitcoin's current market cap is, isn't really a whole lot in the scheme of money, right? Like $100 billion.
Globally, $100 billion right. is not much.
It's like one financial company, basically, yeah. like Goldman Sachs or something is worth $100
Right, but I mean, if you think about Bank of America or...
they have trillions of
dollars. Yeah, trillions of dollars. So, I mean, they're, you know, it's a fraction of that.
So Bitcoin, for those people, is chump change. But they obviously see something about it. There's something that is catching their attention. It's making it so they feel like they have to respond. And you got the CEO of Chase, for instance, Jamie Dimon, who was recently on, we quoted him on this show, and he's been on the attack. And who was the other chairman of the Fed? Bernanke?
Yeah.
He came out, I believe, and attacked Bitcoin. So, like, a lot of these big names in the banking industry are spending their precious, valuable time talking about this little kid on the block.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So, I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I feel like you all promote, and okay, so let me make my point real quick, then y'all can tear into it.
Okay.
I feel like
tearing
that you all might use Bitcoin as a nostalgic reason for your cause as far as freedom, because I have 2 points. One, I would never use Bitcoin if I had to pay even a dime more than what I would use with cash, because I'm already paying 10% sales tax. And my second point is that it seems like it's ridiculously hard to use. And I have never used it, and I maybe probably should try it. But if my mom couldn't figure out how to use it, she can't even figure out how to use a smartphone. She's still on a flip phone. You know, I don't even know if I could use it. And so using a dollar bill, which I know represents the government and the state, you know, but handing someone a dollar bill is far easier in my, it sounds like to me, than using Bitcoin. And it just seems so complicated. Maybe I'm wrong, though.
Okay. I see where you're coming from on that, and it is it's actually a lot easier now to use cryptocurrencies like Dash or Bitcoin than it was 5 years ago, but it is still to the point where there's a slight learning curve involved in, you know, in getting into it. And I agree, if you're, you know, if you're somebody who has trouble programming a VCR or whatever, then you probably shouldn't be getting into cryptocurrencies.
Right. If you've got a debt,
programming a VCR is harder than getting a Bitcoin wallet.
I'm of the opinion that I'm going to do the thing that's easiest and is going to be the lowest cost. So if it's cash, then, you know, it's cash. Mm-hmm. If it's Dash...
Well, cash is almost always the lowest cost.
Not
as far
always,
as, like, there's no fee.
Well, I mean, you know, in some cases, you need to change your crypto into cash to get the cash in the first place to be able to make
the
transaction.
People who don't have crypto don't have that problem.
I'm telling
you... I see what you're saying.
What do you guys do? And
gotcha.
I'm saying that I do the thing that is easiest to do and has the lowest fee. And in some cases, that's crypto. I'm an evangelist. I certainly want it to work, but I'm not going to spend $2 for a transaction fee on a $10 hamburger like Ian was willing to do. No, just not going to do. Not paying $12 for an already overpriced hamburger.
One final question for y'all, and then I'll get off. If you all didn't derive so much sponsorship from these cryptocurrencies for your show, would you still be as evangelistic about this cause as you are?
Yes.
Thank you.
So, absolutely. 100% I would be as evangelical. I mean,
there was a time when Roger was not sponsoring the show, where he had backed out from sponsorship because he was trying to get
a tax burden.
Yeah, he had to pay like hundreds of thousands of dollars to the United States government for back taxes or whatever.
I don't think you should guess at that number and misreport it. This is from the Smithsonian. So not exactly your bastion of libertarian thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be unbiased. At least unbiased by our standards. There never was a real tulip fever. The new movie sets its doomed entrepreneurs amidst the 17th century.
There's a movie about this?
That's what it says. What 17th century, Ian?
The 1800s?
No.
1600s.
Yes.
There you go.
But historians of the phenomenon have their own bubble to burst. When tulips came to the Netherlands, all the world went mad. A sailor who mistook a rare tulip bulb for an onion ate it with his herring sandwich. He was charged with a felony and thrown in prison. A bulb named Semper Augustus, notable for its flame-like white and red petals, sold for more than the cost of a mansion.
Wow.
In a fashionable Amsterdam neighborhood, complete with coach and garden. As the tulip market grew, speculation exploded with traders offering exorbitant prices for bulbs that had yet to flower. Hmm. And then, as any financial bubble will do, the tulip market imploded, sending traders of all incomes into ruins. I remember one story about an orphanage that put all of its extra money into tulip bulbs, and then it crashes and they've got nothing. You have to understand Dutch society at the turn of the 17th century. For starters, the country experienced a major demographic shift during its war for independence from Spain, which began in the 1560s and continued into the 1600s. It was during this period that merchants arrived in port cities like Amsterdam, Haarlem, Delft, and established trading outfits, including the famous Dutch East India Company. There was a Dutch West India Company, too, just for your understanding. This explosion in international commerce brought enormous fortune to the Netherlands. Despite the war, in their newly independent nation, the Dutch were mainly led by urban oligarchies comprised of wealthy merchants, unlike other European countries of the area, which were controlled by landed nobility. So, sort of a new nobility that made it by merit of making money, as opposed to an old nobility that had
family connections.
Yeah, family connections that were established through the point of sword.
Yep.
I just wanted to say that I think what we're seeing now is the great robustness and strength of the whole cryptocurrency project in that, for the first time we have exit. And exit is such an important libertarian strategy, from secession. Well, crypto coins are a kind of economic secession. And now we're in a position where, okay, well, are we locked into Bitcoin? Well, if you think there's something wrong with Bitcoin, then you exit. And this is, we've never had such efficient exit before. We've never had such fast exit before.
Yep.
And so people are going to get scared by, the way things happen at a faster pace than ever before.
Right.
But I think it's actually a very good thing. And it indicates that the problems we have with crypto coins are probably going to be solved for this very reason.
Right. Because the marketplace is going to put pressure on these coins.
Right.
Maybe that means that Bitcoin will get fixed because the people who are so thoroughly invested.
They got to fix it. They got competition.
It's the biggest network by factors of any crypto out there.
Starting to change.
That's true.
The point of Bitcoin originally, and ultimately the point of all crypto coins to one extent or another, is to take over the financial world, is to allow everyone in the world who wants to exit the fiat systems.
Well, that's what we thought. That's what we all thought about Bitcoin, but there's the people who are in charge of Bitcoin now who seem to don't,
it's a settlement layer.
Yeah, you can use credit cards. PayPal's fine, is what they've been saying.
Yeah, and a lot of that talk is scary. When people on the core dev start saying use PayPal, then you're going, okay, I don't think you guys get this at all.
Right, but these are not the people who should be programming Bitcoin.
Right, but this is a wake up call for them.
Right,
and my second point here is that this is an extremely huge project, and it's going to be extremely volatile for the foreseeable future.
No doubt,
we can't expect taking over the world's money to be smooth and steady.
Those banks are going to fight tooth and nail to retain their place in the world.
The high market price for tulips to which the current version of Tulip Mania refers were prices for particularly beautiful broken bulbs, writes the economist Peter Garber. Since breaking was unpredictable, some have characterized Tulip Mania among growers as a gamble, which growers vying to produce better and more bizarre variegations and feathering. After all the money the Dutch speculators spent on the bulbs, they only produced flowers for about a week. But for tulip lovers, that week was a glorious one.
Mm-hmm.
As luxury objects, tulips fit well into a culture of both abundant capital and new cosmopolitanism, Goldgar writes. Tulips required expertise and appreciation of beauty and the exotic and, of course, an abundance of money. Here's where the myth comes into play. According to popular legend, the tulip craze took hold of all levels of Dutch society in the 1630s.
Everybody had to have it.
Right. The rage among the Dutch to possess them was so great that the ordinary industry of the country was neglected. This is a quote, by the way. And the population, even to its lowest dregs, embarked in the tulip trade. So you have got bums with one eye and a peg leg. Tulips! Psst, tulips!
Tulip.
Right? That's not to say that everything about the story is wrong.
Yeah.
Merchants really did engage in a frantic tulip trade, and they paid incredibly high prices for some bulbs. And when a number of buyers announced that they couldn't pay the high price previously agreed upon, the market did fall apart and cause a small crisis. But only because it undermined social expectations. In this case, it was very difficult to deal with the fact that almost all of our relationships are based on trust. And people said, I don't care that I said I'm going to buy this thing. I don't want it anymore. I'm not going to pay for it. There really was no mechanism to make people pay because the courts were unwilling to get involved. So here you had commitments, and probably in many cases verbal, maybe written. Maybe some written commitments, and courts weren't interested in, applying them to anyone. And, you know, this just showed how much the marketplace was based on trust. And this is another reason we should pay attention to cryptocurrencies, because they remove much of the trust from a financial transaction.
To take over township, I guess our left-wing politicians are going to soon need to, come and take everybody's hammers, because a woman last week in the town I live in, her boyfriend beat her to death with a hammer. He'd been in trouble before, so I guess he couldn't get a gun. So
who got beaten to death with a hammer? A politician?
No, just a woman.
No, this woman with three kids that this guy lived with. I'm not sure the time. It was like somewhere around 4 a.m. 911 was called or something.
I wonder if alcohol was involved. Someone beaten to death with a hammer at 4 a.m.?
Mm.
Yeah, and then, see, the obituary didn't mention a husband. That's why I say the boyfriend. It mentioned her three children, though.
Yeah, I'm sure that they're devastated.
Yeah, and her parents took the children in, of course. But, look, if people can't get guns, they'll use hammers, they'll use knives, they'll use vehicles.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.